You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Like, go pick blueberries. And I got to tell you, just looking at them, never picked a blueberry before. In fact, I don't think I picked blueberries before, but just watching them have joy, just simple things was just, it's so fun. It's so fun to see them love life. And you pray for them. You're like praying as they're walking down this little grove, or they wake up in the morning and they get to hug this person called, you know, B-Mom Papa or Nana and Pop. And you're like, I'm so thankful that these kids get to continue to have this kind of family life. And who knows how the Lord will affect them. I've often heard of children who have been foster children who got adopted, and then they end up fostering kids themselves and adopting kids themselves. You know, the Olympics are going on right now. There's a young gal, a young black gal named Simone, right? And she is an amazing gymnast. Did not know until recently she was a former foster child who was adopted.
No, you know? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and how wonderful she is. And she has gone
what
through...
She's what a champ, because she won years ago. Then the last time she had to bow out due to she froze up, which is something that happens to athletes. And I believe that was China. Mm-hmm. And now has come back and become a historic world champion. It's a marvelous story of have, loss, comeback. She's just amazing. And then, you know, even recently when she didn't win something she wanted to win, she didn't win the gold anyway. Her and the other girl who won the bronze sort of curtsied to the girl, the young lady who did win the gold, and very humble, very giving and loving. And I just like, you know, it's funny about kids is we had a little boy named Christopher in our lives, and a member of family distance, and the family had gone up to Maine to Bar Harbor on vacation, and we met them up there, and we went on a whale watch. Now I will warn you, do not go on a whale watch. I will tell you why, because it took 3 hours to get out there. It's at the ocean and you're prone to seasickness. We got there out 3 hours and we saw a whale that maybe was 7 foot long. I mean, not any more than that. This little plump, little looked like a little baby whale. After all, and that's all the whales we saw. 2 years later, I was sitting in a hotel lobby at the fireplace in downtown Bar Harbor, and a lady said, "Oh, they had just gone on a whale watch that day." I said, "What'd you see?" She said, "We saw this little, look like a baby whale, only 7 foot long." So listen, so here's the deal. I don't really think there's whales out there. I figure it out. They're making about $70,000 gross every day. They take two trips in and out with hundreds of people on board at $40 a person. But here's the funny thing. So when they get back to Florida, little Christopher is asked, "What was your favorite part of the trip?" He goes, "You could go down the street for this." He goes, "The swimming pool at the Hampton Inn."
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Watching Uncle Rhett throw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he actually said. This entertained him for some reason. And I was on the floor beneath the table. I was like, they gave you the bag. And I was like, oh, when I got off of that ship, I ran to the hill in Bar Harbor and I just laid prostrate on the ground, and literally I said, "I'm going to kiss the ground," and I kissed the ground. No more whale watches, and I do not recommend the whale watch.
Yeah, I can kind of relate with that. You know, here on the East Coast, we have a lot of these charter boats and these group boats. You know, you can have 30, 40 people all fishing at the same time. Down in Delray, where I grew up, there's one called, it's called like the Queen Majestic, I think. Every time I've gone with my brothers and parents and my dad, I would get sick from the waves. So you go in the middle of the boat to lay down, but that's even worse. You know, if you don't see the line out to the waters, you just get really boat sick. So
I tell you what, people don't realize I had a boat on Lake George, New York for many years. And all of a sudden a storm can come up on the water and you see the white caps and suddenly, you know, you're bobbing up and down and you can't even get into a dock because it's so dangerous. And you have to, you know, you know, wait out the storm. It can be very scary, you know, to do that. But Jesus, remember, we can tell that story where Jesus actually was out in the boat with his crew, his disciples, and this happened on, I think it was the Sea of Galilee, in which I was baptized, by the way, the Sea of Galilee. And tell us that story, if you would, that biblical story of the disciples and Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee.
Well, you know, they go out, and it's almost the story of Jonah and the whale, the big fish. In that story, it's a foreshadowing of what we see in the life of Jesus. There, Jonah's asleep, and there everyone's out there, and the waves are crashing, and everyone's afraid. And finally, Jonah wakes up, and he says, "The reason why this is happening is because of me." That's not why the storm's happening in the story that we have in the New Testament with Jesus. But there's Jesus asleep on the boat, and the disciples are terrified about losing their life. And this is weirdly right after Jesus did some amazing miracles. I mean, if you're going to be in a boat, I would love to have Jesus with me. I know I'll be safe, but clearly they're still not trusting. And yet, when the storms get too great for them, and these are big fishermen. This is their first time on a boat. I'm sure they've seen some really bad storms. This must have been a horrendous one. I mean, I don't think people get the magnitude of what this story is. This is the worst storm that they've ever seen in their fishing life of 15, 20 plus years. This is incredible. And then Jesus wakes up and he says, "What's wrong?" And he says, "What are you afraid of?" And he looks out and he says, "Be still." And the storm ceases. I mean, and he says, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey his voice?" And the seas calmed. When they threw Jonah off the boat, the seas calmed. But it was Jesus on the boat. By his word, the storms calmed.
And it happens to all of us, maybe not like this extreme. I'm just going to go ahead and testify, though some people may, you know, kind of have an eyebrow up on this. But I have, I will tell you this, that I still do not like the idea of dying. When there was arrogance in the kings of old, like Nebuchadnezzar or whoever, and they would act haughty or tip the glass to the gods of gold and silver, and the next day their lives are taken, God said, "I shall take you from the land of the living." So to be taken from the land of the living apparently is not a good thing. Of course, Jesus said the dead are aware of nothing, I guess, until the resurrection. But that's what he said, quote unquote, "the dead are aware of nothing." So I fear and do not like the idea of dying. I like it here, and I think it's a really beautiful place, this earth. But I remember when I was younger, I was with a semi-charismatic Catholic group. And this is where people prayed with people. And sometimes, I remember when the first time I saw this Father Lozinski or whatever, and he had the holy water, and he sprouted out there. He was a Pentecostal Catholic priest. And the people would fall, and I didn't know what this was. It scared the devil out of me, because I was not a Christian yet. And he came up to me and said, "What do you want, son?" And I said, I just want to be good. Well, a few years later, I mean, a short time after that, I became a born-again Christian in my living room alone with Jesus and me. But I was up at this Bible study, and a lady named Amelia, she was a tall, elegant Italian lady. She had met an American soldier, World War II. This is later on in life. He was now deceased, and she was in her mid to late 70s, I guess. And anyway, they were praying for her one night. Well, when you go into these charismatic or Pentecostal prayer meetings, and people are praying for healings, they have what you call catchers. I think people have seen it on TV. You stand behind someone, and should the Holy Spirit take them over, they fall into your arms and don't crash onto the floor. Well, anyway, I was there as a catcher, and this old lady was being prayed for, and she wasn't going down in this what they call slain in the spirit. And I walked away from her. Well, then she crashed down to the floor and hurt her hip badly. And this week on the phone, she's, all right, it's not your fault, because, you know, usually it's the Holy Spirit. And when you fall in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be hurt. But I was feeling tired, so just to kind of let myself go. And you know, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, but I'm in pain in my hips. So it's a week later, we're at the same prayer meeting at these people's house on a Tuesday night. And once again, she's being prayed for by somebody else, and someone else is standing behind her. I swear to you and everything that I am, and Jesus said, the devil's a liar and the father of lies, and no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so I'm not going to lie to you guys. So anyway, she says, Rat, come here, come over here. She takes my two fingers, and she takes it with her hand, because, you know, you don't touch a woman with unless. And so she puts my fingers down on her hip, right where the hip joins the body. And before, I swear before God that I, well, I'm not supposed to swear by anything, but anyway, I felt this buzzing. And she says, Rat, I'm going to be healed. Praise the God. I'm going to be healed. And I felt it just like Thomas with my own two fingers, this buzzing going on in her body. And she was healed. Her hip was healed. Now, that's something that I felt. I've had other miracles, but to feel that and to deny it, I would be a liar. But yet I still, on this earth, it's hard to believe, you know, because death is so final. I don't know if you're old enough to have lost anybody yet. But, you know, I remember my mom, when I was your age, said, you know, death is very final. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite understand that until I lost her. It's just so silent when your loved ones are sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, in pastoral ministry, you're given a ministry of death. Often I'm doing funeral services for so many families, even people outside the church, people looking for a pastor just to give them counsel. And there is something about being hyper aware of the fragility of life. And we often in this world, our culture, unfortunately, has thought less and less of death until it finally happens. You know, our cemeteries and are kind of pushed off to the side. They're not highly visible in cities anymore like they used to be. You would go to work and you always pass by your, you know, family tombstone or something like that.
Well, I understand people are dying to get in there.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ta-da-da.
But I'll tell you, you know, you experience enough funerals, you begin to realize that you're not guaranteed another day. This is why we also read in the Proverbs, great wisdom literature, you know, teach me, O Lord, to number my days. Sorry, not Proverbs, Psalms, but it's just like.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.